Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here with you all this morning. It's a blessing to see some old familiar faces and brothers that I haven't visited with or haven't seen for a long time. And just wish you all a special blessing, all of you. And I know there's many new faces that I don't know. So, amen. Well, let's just pause for a word of prayer yet before we begin here. God, we just thank you for this privilege of being here together with your children. And Lord, with that heartbeat of desiring to allow you to be Lord of our life, Father, we just want to, Lord, like we even heard at the children's lesson, that your creation speaks of you. God, may we, as your creation also, give you glory and honor and praise, Lord. God, be with us here this morning. I pray that you would inspire your word. I pray, Father, that you would also just give me the grace to be able to preach your word in a clear way, in a way that can be used to be a blessing for your children, that can feed the soul, the hungry soul, and also, Lord, that it can bring conviction, Lord, where conviction is needed, Father. We just humbly ask, Lord, God, we are nothing before you. We need your blessing, Father. Without your blessing, God, life is vain, Lord. We thank you especially for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the new life in Christ. Thank you for hope and peace. Thank you for that work that you have wrought. And Lord, the love that we heard about this morning as well, Lord, just we want to thank you for that. We only see a tiny glimpse of it. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I was richly blessed this morning what Brother Matt shared. I just say amen to what was shared. And the love of God, I do marvel at his love and how little thanks we sometimes give him, or many times give him, an appreciation for his love to us. I'd like for us to just turn to Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but the first verse I'd like to just look at is verse 1 there. It says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." That just this morning when I was again just reading in preparation here, that verse just stood out to me. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And in light of the subject this morning, it just kind of stood out especially. I'd like to talk about, or the title for the message is A Secret That Kills, and a subtitle is Hidden Sin, Things That Are Hidden or Hidden Sin. A Secret That Kills, and the subtitle being Hidden Sin. And, you know, it's a sobering thing. I mean, it's one thing for us to go through life and the things that we allow in our life, we take them, I think, many times myself, this is speaking from my own experience, many times we don't take life serious enough. What a devastation it can be to allow sin to have any place in our heart. And let's go on down to verse 11 and 11 through 13 there. It says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And it's talking about the unbelief of the, children of Israel and how they did not believe God's promise. It says in verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." The word of God can go down and cut into the deep things and can know and show what really is there, what really is underneath. Yesterday, we were at my parents' place, and we were getting ready for lunch, and we had my mom had a nice mango on the kitchen counter there, and she was expecting that we could cut it and add it to our fruit plate, and she had peeled it, and then we were getting ready to slice off a bigger slice off of it. Took a knife and sliced it off, and then we just a thin slice, and we noticed some brown, a little bit of a brown color to it. The outside looked great. It looked wonderful. Looked like something that could be edible and very good. I took a little sliver of it and just wanted to make sure that is this good or isn't this good? Is it just nice and ripe? Or I took a little taste of it and it was like, had a rotten flavor to it. The outside looked great. Even the peeling was off. The outside seemed good. But when we cut a little deeper is when that was exposed. And then we cut a little deeper yet, and there was just a huge area where it was just brown inside. And that's how the Word of God is. The Word of God can open up, even in our own lives, expose to ourselves even who we really are, not just to others that are around us, but even to ourselves. If we seriously look at the Word of God, that's the blessing of God's Word, really. It's a blessing of God's Word. If we can take God's Word and we can open our hearts to God's Word and we don't resist that knife, but we let Him cut and it goes deep. It goes deeper than our imagine or than what we can, you can have counselors try to figure out problems that people are struggling with, and we can try to dissect people, but it will never do what the Word of God will do. The Word of God can go right to the heart of it, right to where the issue lies, and reveal the good things there as well as the evil. It is the discerner of the thoughts. It just divides those good and bad things. And it's such a blessing when our heart is turned toward the Lord and the Lord reveals that thing. We can say, "Yes, Lord, please take that out of my life." It's like a good doctor that's trying to do surgery, taking a bad thing out of us. Cancer, some growth, something like that we don't want there. And we submit ourselves to that knife. And we're like, "Yeah, I don't want that in my life. That's going to ruin me." That's the same way we can do it to God's Word. Such a blessing to be able to have that trust and that confidence. And when we know the love of God, like we heard this morning, when we know that God loves us, then it's no problem for us to appreciate that knife. And so the Word of God is sharp. It's quick. It can divide. In James 1:14, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And that's the thing that I would like for us to remember this morning, is sin brings death. It brings death. A secret that kills. And that secret that kills is hidden sin. We never will prosper if we hide sin. we never will prosper. Or I should maybe not say never. It won't be long term. It won't be a long term prospering. And it really is the blessing of God that if God brings us to our end or brings us to the end of ourself to help us to see that we need to repent. I have a number of verses I won't have you turn to. I'm just going to go over it real quick. Numbers chapter 32, there's a time when the children of Israel had come to the land of Canaan, and they were just ready to go into Canaan. And two of the tribes, Gad and Reuben, they came there to, I'm not exactly sure why they thought this, but for some reason they came to Moses, and they were like, let's just stay here in the land of, on this side, of the east side of Jordan. They didn't want to go into Canaan for some reason. And I don't know if they thought that the armies were going to be too, or the battles are going to be too hard to fight or what. I'm not sure. But if we go down to verse 20, they had made an agreement with Moses. They said, "Okay, we're gonna go across, and we're gonna fight with you. We're willing to fight the battles with you. We commit ourselves to that." And then Moses tells them, "Okay, with what you've promised, we're fine with that agreement." He says in verse 20, he says, "If you will do this thing." If you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the Lord and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. He said, hey, it's fine. If you do what you said, everything's going to be fine. But this next verse, in which many of us quote this, at least I've heard it when I was younger, says, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. You know, there's a lot of things that we have done, at least that I did when I was young. I did some things that I wish nobody would ever know. And interestingly, it's amazing how most everything either comes across the pulpit, or how God brings it, everything has to be, I believe, confessed and repented of as the Lord brings those things to our attention. Some of those things need to be more maybe in private. It's not always appropriate to share everything, you know, always across in a group setting necessarily. But God, it's amazing how God brings those things to light. In the New Testament, Jesus talks about what's said in the closet is going to be preached on the housetop. And it will be that way. It will be that way. You might not necessarily see a person out on the rooftop doing that. But what you think, what we think, nobody will ever find out. Someone will find out. If not, God still knows about it. And the thing is, our life won't prosper, and our relationship with Him won't prosper. If we feel like we're bumping up against a wall and we're getting nowhere with God, we should ask God, is there something that I have not dealt with? We should open our hearts to that knife. And ask God to examine our heart and to reveal the secret things in our heart. Remember, God loves you, and you will never regret it. You will never regret it to just let the Word of God cut out the sin and garbage and the things that destroy us. When I was younger, about 12 years old, I don't know if you remember this, Cornelius, or not, but some of the things that I'm ashamed of now, I was going to school and saw another young boy, a friend of mine. He had a watch that I badly wanted to have, and not I didn't want his watch, but I wanted one exactly like he had. And It was a calculator watch. And anyway, I was, for some reason, I was afraid to talk to my dad about it. I don't know why. Children, you can take this as a lesson for you. You don't want to do these things. You don't want to. It's just, you know, things that you hide and things that you think that you can get by with, you don't want to tell anyone about. They'll come out sometime. They'll come out, and they'll either stand before you when you kneel down to pray, that you don't feel clear to pray to God anymore, until you confess that. And that's how it was for me. Anyway, I wanted this thing bad enough. I ended up stealing some money from my parents to go pay for this, and I even told this school friend that I can do that. That my dad was okay with it, and of course, my dad knew nothing about it. And so I stole that money, and I got that watch. But what do you do with a watch? You wear it, right? You wear it. Well, suddenly I realized I couldn't wear it. I knew I couldn't wear it. And so, because it wouldn't be, I mean, it would be exposed. Everybody would know what I did, so I had to hide it. So I tried hiding it for a little bit, and I'm not sure, I don't think it was very long at all, but I couldn't go back to the person that I had said that it was okay, my dad was okay, because I had told him it was okay. I was in a trap, it was God bringing me to a trap, and that's good. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It really is, that we have those traps, those walls that we come against. I then tried to cover it up because I didn't know of any way out. I ended up going down to the woods down below my dad's place and decided to throw this thing in the woods. And because I couldn't wear it, I was afraid my mom would find it in my drawer. I was afraid, you know, it was going to get found out, but I didn't want to confess what bad thing I had done. This watch was not a blessing. It was killing me. It was destroying me. That's just a little thing that watch was. But it was destroying me. And so I did that. I threw that in. I thought, okay, I got that taken care of. I'll never see that again. It'll be history. You know, I can maybe, I don't know if I was thinking I can confess it to God and just keep it as a secret or not. I'm not quite sure what I was thinking. But we had a dog, a friendly dog, and he probably, I don't know, smelled my scent on that watch or something. He grabbed that thing down in the woods, brought it up to the sidewalk there, and put it right beside the sidewalk. And I forget if my dad or one of my siblings found it. One of them found it, and then I started asking questions: where did this come from? And I lied myself out of it. So sad, you know. Those are sad things. God gave me an opportunity to confess, but I didn't confess. This went, and which it ended up, I think the thing was ruined and wasn't worth anything anyway. We ended up going to the trash. This was just a piece of history that kind of went, I don't know what all my mom and dad were thinking. With time anyway, I did confess that to my parents because it kept bothering me. It kept coming to my mind. But sin, hidden sin will destroy. A secret that kills is hidden sin. It will destroy. It'll destroy our life. Even us as adults, even us as Christians, we go through life and we can slip. We can fall. We can fall into some sin. Not that we had planned it, but we just fall. We fall into temptation. And then what do we do about it? What do we do? Do we hide it? Or do we allow the knife of God to cut that out and to reveal that and expose that? Hidden sin, it will destroy and it will kill, just like it did for me in that situation. Now, you might not, God may not bring a dog in your life to expose your sin. God may not do that. But even many people I've heard that have walked maybe an immoral life, through their life, and they kept it hidden all the way through their life, they even died, and nobody knew about it, but 5 years later, after their death, someone else confesses their involvement with that person. They're in some immoral way or in some other conduct and whatever. God has a way of exposing sin. We would never want to. None of us wants to come before judgment and have that sin coming up the aisle to face us. We don't want that. Be sure your sin will find you out. So really, it's the love of God. It's the love of God that allows us to be exposed like that. It's the love of God. It really, I look back at that. It's the mercy of God that helped me, that allowed that situation to come, that it was exposed, and to continue to convict, like we heard this morning, pursuing God, seeking after my soul. I would not be here if it would not have been for God doing that in my life. I would not. That was just one area. There was many other areas that God had to expose. I had to reveal sin in my life. Job 20, verse 27 to 29 says, "The heaven shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away as in the day of his wrath. This is the portion of the wicked man from God, and the inheritance appointed unto him by God. The heaven shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him." You know, that's what happened for me. The earth, so to speak, the dog, God had him rise up against me and stand. God will do that. And in God's righteousness and holiness, he will do that. And God is not wrong when he does that. God is right. God is doing what he should do, what he knows is good for us. Ezekiel 12, 13 and 14 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing." Remember, it's those secret things, those things that we think no one knows about. He'll bring every secret thing, whether they be good or evil, he's going to reveal those things and bring them to judgment. I also, my mind went to another verse just this morning in Ecclesiastes 13. There is nothing like 13. What was it? 11:3. Sorry. Chapter 11, verse 3. It says, "If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be." You know, we're all going to come before God someday. We're going to give an answer for what we have done, and wouldn't we much rather allow God to take his knife to our heart, to our mind, our spirit, and separate the good and the bad, expose that, bring those things to judgment today? Wouldn't we way rather expose those things now than to have those things come follow us after? Because when we die, if we fell to the north or if we fell to the south, there's no changing it anymore. There's no changing it after death, after we leave this life. It's a very, very important thing for us. We might think that no one knows what's going on in my quiet time, my free time, when I'm on the phone. Now the modern day, you know, technology that faces us really, really much with having phones and all those things. They can be such a blessing, but they can also be such a curse, such a secret thing. It can be a secret thing, but would I care if you all would know what all I did on my phone this past week, would I care? If I would care, maybe I shouldn't have been doing it. You know, maybe I shouldn't have been doing it. And God's going to hold us accountable for those things. God's going to hold us accountable for those things when we're all alone. And it goes to much more than just a phone. It's whatever secret thing there is out there. God's word is true. God's word will not return void, and it's able to sever, and it's able to cut down deep to the heart. Where are we this morning? What are we doing? Are we freely opening our hearts to the Lord? Are we resisting that knife when God wants to cut out the bad out of our heart? That verse that I was referring to, it's the same setting, Luke chapter 12. If you turn to that one, Luke chapter 12, where Jesus was talking, verse 1 through 5, it says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." There's absolutely nothing that we can cover or that we try to cover that's not going to be revealed someday, whether in this life or in the life to come. Many of those things actually will be revealed in this life. Many of those things that we have done, many of those things that I did when I was a young boy, they got exposed one way or the other. Many of those things, all of them that I know of, you know, that God brought to my attention to confess to the people that I wronged or to the people that I felt like needed to know. There's nothing hidden that shall not be known. Verse 3, it says, "Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." You know, Jesus was speaking to his disciples and to this multitude as friends because he cared, like we heard about this morning, that love. Jesus was speaking because out of a heart of love, not out of a heart of you do this or else, not at all, but he was wanting to spare us from damnation. That's really why he was telling us. He was like, be careful. Watch over what you say in the quiet, in the secret place, because it's going to get found out. Someone will find out. God knows about it, really. Fear God, is what he's saying. Fear God. Don't think you can get by with it. And I want to spare you from that hardship and from that grief of and that judgment is what he was really wanting to do. He says, I want to spare you from that. Beware of that. Fear him which is able to kill, after he hath killed, to cast, hath power both to cast you into hell. I'm sorry. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Fear God is what he's saying. Really quickly, yet I'd like to just look at the life of, or the story of Achan there. I don't think I will read it. I know some of you are pressed for time with wanting to travel this afternoon. But if you look at the story of Achan, it's a very familiar story, and it's a very convicting story when there's sin in our heart, in our life, just like Achan. Achan tried to cover sin. If we in the beginning, chapter 7 there, Joshua, they had decided to go and go do a battle with Ai, and they thought, hey, we don't need many people. We're strong. We just won Jericho. The battle is ours, basically. We just need to send a couple thousand over there. We're going to conquer it, conquer this enemy. And you know, we can do that in our life today. We just won a victory last week over some big thing in our life. We just won a victory, and we're feeling pretty good about it. We're feeling pretty good about it. But there's one little thing that we yielded to our flesh. Just one little time, then after that we yielded to our flesh. And we didn't tell anyone about it. We didn't tell God about it. We hid it under the tent. And we face another, what we would think is a smaller battle, and we just go up there and we fall flat. Why? Why is that? We look at the story here. They got there, Joshua, and I think this is something that we can look at as a church. We can look at it as an individual, as individuals. If we as a church are struggling with victory and moving forward, the power of God, the working and moving in it among us, there may be a brother that's struggling, that's hiding something. You know what? We should all feel responsible about that, responsible enough that we can be hindering the work of God. I can be hindering the work of God because of allowing sin and self in my life. I can hinder my brothers from prospering and the church from moving forward, just like it did with the children of Israel. There was 32 lives lost, 32 lives lost because of that, and they couldn't win the battle. They were all scared. We can also cause fear to be in the heart of our brother and our sister because of sin in our life. Or it can be in our own individual life, in our personal life. Either way, when there's hidden things, when there's things that we don't want to bring out, just like Achan did in Joshua chapter 7, verse 10. I'm going to jump in there. This is after Joshua had poured out his heart before God, and he had cried out to the Lord and asking God, what shall we do? How in the world are we going to overcome? And God says, Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Verse 11, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, they have and have stolen, and dissembled also, and have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. This is why they couldn't stand before them, is what God is saying. But turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. God's going to do that for us too today. God is the same God that he was back then with the children of Israel and Joshua there. God will not continue to be with us. Excuse me. God will not continue to be with us if we are hiding, if we deliberately choose to hide sin in our life. God in his mercy will keep knocking and say, you need to take care of that. You need to take care of that. Many times he will keep knocking. I don't know. It's not always the same length of time. But with time, God's going to remove his presence. Like we read in Revelations, he says, except you repent, I'm going to leave. I won't be there anymore. It's a very sad thing. The children of Israel their lives were at stake. Their life was in, their future was in danger of God removing his presence from them. Just if this sin didn't get exposed and they didn't deal with the sin. Verse 13, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. They had no clue. Nobody knew what was going on. Nobody knew. No one knew. From what we read of this passage, I don't know how he did it, but somehow Achan got it accomplished. Just like me. I got it accomplished. No one else in my family knew what I had done with that watch and how I had gotten it. No one knew about it. But God reveals those things. And God does it in his righteousness. And God will do it in our lives. He will continue to do it. He will continue to do it in our lives. We may think it's all hidden. It's not hidden. It's not hidden. It's not hidden from him at all. Anyway, they went on down. I'm going to skip over some of those verses. God told them how they're supposed to deal with sin. They're supposed to remove Achan out. And not only the sobering thing to me is, not only was Achan's life taken, his wife, his sons and daughters, his family, his tent, everything was burnt, destroyed. That's sobering to me. If I allow sin in my life, I can take my children, my wife. I can take others to a life of destruction. They may not even know it. They may not even know it. If we hide sin, sin will bring death. It'll bring death in relationships. It'll bring death in our own life. It'll bring death in our relationship with each other and our relationship with God. It will. Hidden sin will. It's a secret that kills. I don't want anyone else to know it. It's not worth it to hide sin. Just like Achan, we will suffer death. Thankfully, as long as we have life, there's hope for repentance and we can be redeemed. I would just like to encourage you all with this. If you find yourself there this morning, there's redemption. God's love supersedes our sin. God's love goes beyond that. He can't tolerate that, and he gives us an option, like it says in Isaiah chapter 1, I believe it is, where it says, come now, let us reason together, let's talk about it, let's expose it, let's open it up, let's open up our hearts, let's reason together, thus saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You know, God wants to redeem even that ugly mango, you know, when the knife cuts down in. When we do that, when we expose that while there's still life, God can do surgery. God can take that thing out. He can redeem. He can heal. He can restore the years that the cankerworm hath eaten, all those things. God can do that. That's our loving God. That's the amazing thing about how God can do. We have scars in our life with the choices that we make. We have things and memories that we don't enjoy thinking about. But God can heal in ways that we cannot understand. We don't understand. How can God do that? But God wants to do that this morning. He wants to do that in our heart, in our life. If we are hiding something, don't keep hiding it. Don't keep hiding it. Expose it. Share it. Children, I'd encourage you, share it with your parents. Share it with your parents. Talk to your parents about it, and they can together pray with you and help you through. And others, us as parents, us as fathers, mothers, we need to find someone. We need to find God, first of all, to share that with, that secret. But I believe there's some healing. There's a need for us to expose some things, even gross things, to someone else. It doesn't have to be with everyone, but with someone else, someone we can trust. There's a blessing and actually a need in our heart to do that, to be willing to expose that. We don't prosper. We look at the history, the life, numerous times that people tried to do that. It never worked. It never, in my own life, sin just has a way of killing you, and hidden sin, even though, you know, we might say, well, I confess that to God. Yes, perhaps. And it might not have to be in detail, but I think it's good for us to expose those things to a brother that we have confidence in, or to a sister. I think it's good for us to also share that. Confess your faults one to another and you'll be healed. There's a certain healing that also happens. Confessing it to our brother will not give us any merit, will not redeem us from sin or pay for our debt, but I believe that it'll help you in victory. It'll help you to overcome. In my own life, personal, moral, thought life struggles that I went through, God, I know I even shared some of those things with other brothers and so forth, and God only can bring the victory, but there is the blessing of being able to expose and free our heart and bring those things to light, and it helps sin to be more sinful when we expose that as well. Just dealing with it. Are we willing to humble ourselves? God says if you humble yourself, he will lift you up. And even though it might be humbling at the moment, God can meet those needs and restore. There's a day coming when we will all face God face to face. You know, and it doesn't matter who we fooled here on this earth. It doesn't matter who we've tricked, who we've convinced that we were such a godly person. It doesn't matter. We're going to give an account. We're going to give an account to God. Is there some hidden sin somewhere deep in your heart that you hope no one will know about? You hope that nobody else will ever find out? Are you enjoying some hidden sin in your life today? You're enjoying it and you just hope church will let out and you can go and enjoy it again, your secret life. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. We can look good on the outside, but is the inside clean? We can look good on the outside, but is the inside clean? We can do good deeds to soothe our conscience, but are we feeding a carnal lifestyle underneath where most people don't know anything about it? You know, we can look good on the outside, be getting people's approval so we can soothe our conscience, but inwardly we're feeding a carnal lifestyle, a selfish lifestyle that we think nobody else knows about. Is there some bitterness or unforgiveness hidden in your heart, in my heart, towards our parents, towards our children, parent relationships, someone at church? What about your neighbor or anyone else? God knows. God knows those things. I don't want to put a guilt trip on somebody. I don't want to make you all feel, that an oversensitive heart feel condemned. But it's good for us just simply to trust our heart, trust our Father, that we can, in such a way that we can trust Him with our heart. We can trust our heart into His hands and say, God, you know. Go ahead, take the knife, the Word of God. And as we're reading, He'll reveal those things. He's like, you know what? That thing back there, you ought to tell somebody about that, about that secret that you had back there. There's a blessing that comes with that. Exposing sin, it's part of humbling ourselves before the Lord. It's part of it. It's part of humbling ourselves and sanctifying ourselves. I don't know what all that meant there in Joshua where he says, up, sanctify the people. They were preparing their hearts for God to check out their hearts. And you know, we need to do that today. We need to prepare our hearts to receive from God and to let God check our heart. So it's the secret that kills hidden sin. It's that secret that we don't want to keep in our heart any longer. We want to expose that. We need to expose. Our flesh doesn't like to do it. It cringes. It's like, oh no, what if you find out? What if so-and-so finds out? It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It's not worth it. Let's not keep that secret any longer. Let's expose that. May the Lord bless you.